When you're feeling kind of lonely and the world's got you down. When you're eating plain bologna and you can't shake that frown.
When everything is making you feel blue. When you DVR episodes of The View.
When all you want is to have no care. Lift your feet up high in the air. Look at your friend and say,
put her there. This ain't no hand jive.
Avoid all of life's booby traps.
Whack your palms with a big fat joyful slap.
Feel the connection of a single clap.
And you're alive.
You need the high five.
Hello and welcome to the High Five Podcast.
We're back.
We are back. I am your
from outer space. Turn around now. Get that look up off your face. Aren't you the one? Scooby Dooby in my pie.
the new format.
Think I'd lay down and die. Oh no, not I. Oh, I don't know.
Who sings that?
Lady Antebellum. I think.
Hit your headphones.
Get it together, man.
That is our
get it together.
That was not me. That is our guest who I will introduce later. I was just about to say that my name is Henry Huff. I am your lovable host and my not-so-lovable co-host.
Co-host, thank you very much.
The Big V, Reg Valentine.
Oh, he's back. I'm back
the
from outer space.
V.
I am the Big V, yeah.
The Big Flying V.
How did you know that? I started a new traveling circus called the Flying Vs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Adults only.
I haven't seen you until just now.
Well, I know. Well, we've been shut down by OSHA for a number of months, so I figured I'd come back to Massachusetts trying to get the Flying Vs back off the ground, so to speak.
So the Flying V is a travel service?
Well, we're not really a circus. We're an act that goes around state fairs. And we, you know, so our season is like April through October.
Okay.
And we go around all the big state fairs in the Northeast and we do the Flying Vs with Reg.
And what is it?
Well, I put on a big hat, even bigger coattails, and I walk around a little circle. And then I have a bunch of people that I have chopped off their legs. So they're just stumps, but they put their arms in the air so they look like Vs. And then because they're stumps, I just bounce them on trampolines and they become Flying Vs. It's really easy.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Well, it is awesome. And the lighting for it was specially crafted by someone in Amsterdam. So, you know, like these spotlights that fly around to make like Cirque du Soleil look really fancy and stuff?
Yeah.
They're just vagina lights. So they're just, not only do we have people that I have genetically mutified or just cut up to look like Vs, we actually have vaginas flashing through the crowd too. Flying Vs.
So the vaginas emanate light?
Yes. Because they are obviously the birth-giving orifice of human beings, and then they give out light of life. Light of life. L-O-L. L-O-L.
Wow. Well, that sounds like it's been a lot of work, and we're very grateful to
you. Oh, it's been huge. I've invested every last penny I've owned. Every last penny. And now we're shut down, thanks to America. Like, this thing, I was in Europe for months. Everyone was lapping it up, literally. Like, just dripping everywhere for this thing.
Laughing up the Flying Vs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was popular as all can be. Bring it over to America, shut down because we're not allowed to have little people with no legs and their arms in their air flying around. Thank you very much, Donald Trump.
Where in Europe was this allowed then?
Well, we did a lot of it in Slovakia. We did a lot of it in the former Yugoslavia because, you know, you can have access to really cheap surgeons. And very willing acrobats. I generally, there's a website for people that have either hurt themselves or been fired from places like Cirque du Soleil. So they're really willing to be employed by Reg Valentine's Flying V Circus Emporium. So I take them on. We take them to Dr. Scharfenberger, who's located in Bosnia, former Yugoslavia, now Bosnia. And between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., they can go through a very simple procedure to turn into one of the flying V's. They get their tattoo or brand, whichever one they want, and then they're mine. They're mine forever.
Have you ever considered amputees?
No, that's a little bit too far for me.
I see.
I like to form them myself.
You would prefer... Yeah, so you'd prefer somebody without a natural injury.
Well, they have to have... So, no offense to amputees, but traditional acrobats usually started with all four limbs, two legs, two arms. So I'd prefer to chop their legs off, but in their head, they're already classically trained acrobats. So that bit I don't have to pay for. All I have to pay for is Dr. Scharfenberger to take the legs off, and then...
They still have the mental, like, acuity,
the
bravery. Yeah,
exactly. See, you know me, bud.
Wow. We are best friends. Yeah. We haven't seen each other in 2 years.
But then the surgery is easy. Chop off the legs... And then use some of the bones from the legs to lock the arms in place so they're in permanently sticking up into a V shape.
So does each of them have...
Are you allowed to speak yet?
No, you
can.
Go
ahead.
Sorry.
We'll introduce you soon. Go ahead.
Do they have people who help care for them if they cannot wipe themselves?
They used to, but we had money issues. So all I did was... make a series of trolleys and they just roll around on them.
I love that that's your number one concern.
Do you dip them?
Is whether or not they can wipe themselves.
Yeah, like, I mean.
Well, the trolleys that I have, they have a remote control and they can drive themselves around like the compound. And then inside the trolley that they sit on is like a sanitizing liquid so they can constantly do what they need to do. It's like a permanent bidet.
I'm just more concerned about the sanitizing.
Yeah, same. I was thinking about, you know, like the car wash that you go through and it, like, with all the, you know, like the sprays and all that buffers. Stuff.
Yeah.
You could invent one of those for the trolleys. Just send them through the car wash, human car wash.
Well, remember, the idea of Reg Valentine's Flying V's Circus is that we have, everything is V-orientated. So, like, the acrobats, you want to keep the V's intact, not only the arm V, but the V. So I definitely want to keep that sanitary and looked right. after.
Must be difficult to constantly have to bounce on your V.
Well, like I said earlier, these are trained acrobats, ex-Cirque du Soleil most of the time. So they're extremely weathered and leathered and strong. So they have no issues down there.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Like coming in hot right out the gate.
Yeah, but you asked what I was doing.
The High Five Podcast.
You asked what I did, and this is what I've been doing. And now I can't do what my passion is. My passion is for the V's, and the V's can no longer fly because we're back in America.
I'd love to see a show.
I know.
Well,
me too.
I would love to see the show too. And we had one coming down, you know, across to the Downfield State Fair.
Oh, the Downfield Fair.
Yeah, but we can't even do the Downfield Fair anymore because. Because we're shut down because of OSHA.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
what's the URL? What's it called?
It's youtube.com/...
Wait. YouTube.com?
YouTube.
Like the band U2?
You can just search on... Just go to youtube.com and then search V's Up. V's Up. And then we have a series of webisodes. So there's the making of the V's. And then there's the V's training. How the V's got together. There's a small documentary, like kind of like making, you know, putting the band together. So it's called like Chopping Up the V's, and it shows Scharfenberger in Bosnia and how he did all the background story to the show. You know, like every good show has a hell of a lot of history behind it, and I really wanted to showcase that, and we did that via the YouTube to really kind of show off the V's and make sure that the V's, you know, are proud because. A lot of acrobats are male, and a lot of acrobats are all like, oh, we've got two arms, two legs, and a big penis. We can do all these jumps. But, you know, my idea was to, like, showcase the V and really get the V's flying.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, I'm sorry about that the performance is shut down in America. However, I'm very grateful to have you back here in studio in Sandy Dunes.
I'm really happy to be back, too, man. It's been a while. It's just been a very long and hard process to try and get these V's up and running, and I'm just happy to be back talking with you about it and trying to get the word out there that, you know, V's are just as important as anyone else.
Well, that's very true, and that message is now out there. So good job.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, what have you been up to?
Oh, nothing. Anyway, so I want to talk a little bit about the new format of the show.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do a little rapid fire.
We're not talking randomly for 25 minutes.
I hope not. We're going to have a more concise, more streamlined show. We're going to have 5-minute segments that I'm going to time here on my online stopwatch that I've known about for years. And we're going to have 5 different categories.
Okay.
And they're going to change a little bit each week.
Okay.
But they're each going to be 5 minutes long.
Perfect.
Do you want to hear what the categories are?
Sure.
Okay. Here's categories. The categories for today are, number one, meet our guest. You've heard her lovely voice already, but we will be meeting our guest. Then we have a little segment called Professor Valentine.
God bless you.
Bless you. Please.
Excuse me.
Sneeze directly into the microphone next time. And then number three, topic three today is called Weird Stuff. And topic four, At the Movies. And topic number five, Selfish Shellfish.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a Reg Valentine special right there.
Yes, it is.
All right, so without further ado, I'm going to start the clock for our first segment.
Ding, ding, ding.
High five start. All right, we are very, very excited today. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited too.
This guest is very new to me, but an old friend of Reg Valentine.
One of my oldest friends.
Because she's old or because
no,
you've known her a long time?
A little bit of both. Why are you going so?
And she is she's sort of a, how do you call a jack of all trades, but not a guy?
Jane.
A Jane of all trades? Okay. Not a Jill of all trades?
That's what I meant.
Okay. I don't know. So a Jill of all trades has been a professional dog walker for the rich and famous. That's all I know, except for her current job, which is a Lyme disease recovery counselor. And her name is Kiki Vargas. Hi, Kiki.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you again.
You too.
Always beautiful.
Always.
Oh, very confident, isn't she?
Yeah, she is very confident.
I've liked that.
Well, I think you would need to be confident in order to be a Lyme disease recovery counselor.
Yes.
I have absolutely no idea that career existed. Could you tell us about, you know, what that career is all about?
I mean, honestly, neither did I. And when I was asked to do this by a Lyme disease victim, I thought, sure, I have not much going on.
They've been attacked by Lyme disease.
Yeah, and so somebody who just came up to you and just said, hey, I have Lyme disease, no one will talk to me, will you talk? Like, just
Yes. I think, you know, they're not taken very seriously. Okay. There are so many other diseases out there that people care more about, to be frank.
The cold.
Yes.
The flu.
Ebola. I mean, these things. I would say
Tombola.
This is one of the worst tick-borne illnesses there is Lyme's. And, you know.
Hey, Reg, what are some other tick-borne illnesses?
Tick-borne illnesses?
Yeah.
There's a number. It depends what continent you're on.
Yeah.
So if you're in Europe, where I'm from, you can get tick-bola. You can get fleasema, which are kind of like from fleas, but tick family, aren't they? You can get lazy eye that causes a tick. You can get
one more.
Ticksa, which is a bit like cancer, but by ticks.
Okay. Where did you go to medical school?
Yeah. I do have a lot. I do have a lot of background in medical technologies.
We have to talk. I would like to expand my counseling services.
Well, if you want to do open mic nights on ticks, I don't mean open mic nights, but if you want to have me do a guest speaker, I can definitely talk about ticks, flicks, bits.
Yes, for one of my group therapy sessions.
Oh, how many people do you have?
Oh my God, in New England, tick season, 7 so far.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Recovering from Lyme disease.
Recovering from Lyme disease, yeah. Or suffering from Lyme disease?
I mean, a little bit of both. If you don't catch it right away, you're more suffering.
Now, when they come to you, are they just really sour about the Lymes?
They're usually in pain. They want joint massages and
You offer a massage program?
I thought this was just like discussions. You offer actually physical
hands
touching.
On.
I mean, I did go to school for massage therapy as well, so I figure I would add in a physical component to my counseling services.
Okay.
So do people with Lyme disease have physical like aches and pains?
Like symptoms?
Oh, yes. Arthritis of the joints. Sometimes their brains can feel almost swollen.
Oh, do they turn green?
They don't often look like the tick from the show, but...
Oh, the superhero, the tick?
I'm sure they wish they could. They really need something out there.
And you provide that relief, I guess. You provide the counsel and the help to get them through. Typically, if someone comes to you and they have Lyme disease, do you run a test to show they're not just like faking you to get the support, or do you just take them, you know?
You know, I believe them. I believe them that no one would lie about having such an illness.
Do they have to provide the tick that provided the disease as proof?
A lot of them do save that, actually.
Oh. What was that?
That's our alarm. Our 5-minute alarm for our Meet the Guest.
Is that from your butthole?
Yep. Wait, I want to hear the end of the story, though. So wait, people save the tick?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. It's like sort of, you know, their way of coping with the original cause of their disease. One of my patients actually has it still alive.
What?
In an ant farm.
Gross. It lives in an ant farm?
Yes.
So like 1,000 ants Black have sheep. Adopted a tick.
Yes, yes. You'd be surprised how much other species are adopting.
Other species.
Other species.
Wait for a segment coming up on that. I've got a great story about that. I have one last question. I know we're over for this segment. Have you ever had any of your people come in saying they've been bitten by a tick and believing that they're turning into a superhero because of being bitten by a radioactive tick?
Honestly, not yet. But, you know, now that the word's getting out there, I'm sure I'll have a slew of new opportunities ahead.
Good word. Henry?
Well, so how can people get a hold of you? Do you have a website? Is there a way that they can get a hold of you? I know I've seen your flyers before around town, around Sandy Dunes. Also,
yes, I'm so glad.
Your hometown is what again?
Clam's Hole.
Clam's Hole. Okay, and so I'm sure you probably have flyers with a little pull-down tabby ruse.
Yes. I'm very widely known around Clam's Hole.
What's the name of the coffee shop there? Just the Drip? Isn't that the one?
Yes, Just the
Just
Drip.
Just the Drip, yeah. So go
great
in there.
Great coffee.
Great coffee. But go in there, pull down the little tabaroos with your name. Kiki
Call
Vargas.
Me. Yeah.
Call me. Exclamation point.
Yes.
Call me.
Call me.
Some, you know, my advertising is vague because I do a lot of different things. And I, you know, if someone were to need anything really, I would offer it at this point.
So, oh wow.
Wow.
So
Lisa, some follow-up
this economy.
I didn't know you could get that from a coffee shop.
I didn't either. But all right. So look for in your local coffee shops around town. Your website, I believe you told me, was ticks, ticks, ticks.
Yes.
Ticks, ticks, ticks.
.lime/massage.
If you want it. / call me.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. Go ahead. One more time. Could you give us that URL again?
tickticksticks.com/lime/drippingclam.
Call me.
Call me. Clam's Hole.
Okay, wow, that's great. Well, we have to move on to our next segment, and I'm very excited about this next segment.
I don't even know what it is.
I know.
It's just got my name in it.
I know. This next segment is called Professor Valentine, and this is a segment that I'm going to name a sort of process or a scientific phenomenon or something of the sort, And Reg is going to tell us how it works.
Well, and I'll probably know because I'm a very intelligent, learned young man.
Exactly. So I'm going to start the clock here. And Reg, your topic today for Wrestler Valentine is, could you tell us how baby kangaroos are born?
Okay. Baby kangaroos.
Yep.
So a mother kangaroo and a father kangaroo, you know, they've gone out in Australia. They've had a good time. Maybe they've gone to see some Australian rules football, or they've gone to a boxing fight or something because kangaroos like to fight. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. So they've had a good time. They've sunk a couple of brewskis, as they say. They've been down the watering hole and fought a crocodile. And then they're having sex. We all know about that piece, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Fast forward 10 years later, the baby is about to come out of the mother.
10 years later.
It's a very long
gestation period.
Very long gestation period. That's why kangaroos are so moody, because they're always like pregnant. Okay. So mother kangaroo in the kangaroo hospital, getting pushing. So because kangaroos don't have vaginas, they have to have a baby through their pouch. So if you open up the pouch just a little bit, you'll see this. So is
a peek.
Sorry, you just take a little peek.
So
it's hard to
describe on radio, but if you open up the pouch and you're looking vertically down into the pouch, imagine there's a pair of curtains from the top all the way down to the bottom. As a surgeon, you have to peel open the labia majora of the kangaroo. This is true, Henry. You asked me to describe it.
Keep going.
I am. What you'll see is a kangaroo is born feet first because the feet are a lot bigger.
It stretches. It stretches it to help the rest come out. I've seen this happen. I've aided in a kangaroo birth.
So you open the labia majora. It's like a pair of curtains. Oh.
Let's be mature.
You have to stop laughing, Henry.
Henry.
I'm really trying to explain this for the listeners at home. It's not fair. Take a breath.
I am.
Okay.
I'm good.
Out comes the right hand. foot. Then comes the left hand foot. Because kangaroos are born to jump, They're like, it's like one of the, you know those toys that you get at Christmas and you wind them up and they're like this?
Yeah.
And they kind of jump. So a kangaroo's feet are already doing that. So you got to be really careful when you get them out of the pouch because you might get hit. So right. Best thing to do is to wear baseball catchers thing. So if you take one of the hits into the sternum, you'll be protected. So you're taking out the feet. The feet are going brrrr, and then slowly you got to pull it out. Now, this is the most delicate bit. Imagine two legs out of this massive labia majora now sticking outside of the pouch. Here's the big deal. They've got really strong and really long tails. The tail is curled up like a snake inside because there's not much space inside the womb. So you have to unravel the tail internally and then pull the tail out. So it's feet, legs, then tail, but you're unraveling the tail inside. So this is why you need to be trained.
Extra careful.
Or
yep.
Go to a KC kangaroo clinic in order to have the baby because they know what they're doing. Mother's in distress. It's been 10 years. She's like, get this baby out of here. I'm not supporting this child anymore. Needs to go to college. Get out of my life because they live at home.
Right.
Kangaroos literally live in their mother. Okay, tails out, feet out. Last thing to come out is the head. Massive ears. The ears are fully erect and those ears are like razor sharp, so you've got to be very careful that you don't rip anything internally or the mother won't be able to do anything else ever again in terms of the V. So you bend the ears and you pull it out, and then before you know it, you got a baby kangaroo. Oh, a Joey or a Jane.
Wow.
Wow.
That's it. It takes approximately 48 hours to birth a kangaroo successfully. You can do it in 36, but you may need some reconstruction down in the pouch, if you know what I'm saying.
And welcome back to the High Five Podcast. Once again, I am your lovable host, Henry Huff. And with me, as always,
is Reginald Valentine. Hello.
And our very special guest today is Kiki Vargas. Kiki.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. All right. We are about to move on to our next segment, which is called Weird Stuff. And Reg, I'm going to let you kick this off.
Okay. I found a story on the internet yesterday, and the headline is as such: Fearless rats are caring for orphan kittens at a magical cat cafe.
That is
rats.
Yes, rat. Now, here's an Instagram picture of a rat licking and looking after a worn out pussy. Kitten. Sorry, I had to say it. So this is happening in Brooklyn, New York, a little borough of New York City, where they have
a little borough.
Where they have the Brooklyn Cat Cafe, and they have rats caring for injured, worn out kittens.
And how are they caring for them? Are they bandaging them up when they're wounded? What's going on?
Well, Emily's the owner of the cafe. They have a white and gray rat called Remy, and the Remy helps with the kittens by comforting them, kind of snuggling up to them, licking them, washing them. But it's like the complete opposite of everything we've ever thought about when it comes to the feline rodent relationship.
I love it.
Why?
I mean, why not?
Well, do you think it's real? I don't think that's real. That can't be real.
Yes. Other species take care of other species babies all the time.
Yeah. Humans take care of other species.
Yeah, but there's always the bear and tiger and...
Okay, yeah.
Listen,
that's like in like a one-off when they're being attacked by like, I don't know, like foxes or something.
Let me give you a quote. The Cat Cafe's website notes that the two would romp and play together until they passed out and cuddled together. And then the rat would go on to befriend other kittens that came into the cafe for help. I don't know why it's a cafe, that it's not just like a cat sanctuary, but it's a cafe that... So you can go in and get your coffee. But oh yeah, here's my kitten. Can it get a lick from a rat?
Yeah,
can it snuggle with your rat? Yeah. I don't know if this is a front for some sort of underground mafia. But here's another picture. Here's a rat snuggling with a cat. Rat and cat.
Well, okay.
That is happening.
That is precious looking.
Don't you think that's...
But that doesn't even look like a rat. That's a white rat. I feel like those don't count.
And it also looks like the cat's about to just dive into its neck and just kill it, right?
I wonder how many fatalities there have been at the cat cafe.
That's true.
Oh, they don't mention that. The dark underbelly behind the cafe.
Well, thank you for that weird story, Reg. My weird story involves something that has been washing up on the coast of the Northern California coast of the Northern California shores. And I'm going to show you a picture of this first, and we'll talk a little bit about it. Guys, this is what has been washing up on the shores of Northern California.
Kiki, get a look at that. Let me...
Kiki, take a peek. What do you think? Are those yours, Kiki?
True.
They are called sea pickles. well, that's one of the names for them, sea pickles. They are these clear, gelatinous, jelly,
penile.
Dildos.
they look like that, yeah. And they have been washing up on the shore of Northern California.
Well, who wants to go first? Have you got anything you want to say about this? Are they ripped?
I thought you meant who wants to try one first.
Are they ripped for the beach's pleasure?
I don't have one, but there is a picture of a guy holding
I don't have one.
Well, I wish I had one. There's a picture of a guy like
they're huge. They're massive. Yeah,
they are very large.
And very spongy.
This one's
spongy.
Very girthy as well. He actually looks like he's kind of fingering the bottom of it.
He is.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
I'm feeling another business venture.
Right?
Natural gelatinous sex toys.
Yeah, I think so.
I find that bizarre. Number one, why would they be washing up? Number two, why is nature producing phallic,
exactly,
gelatinous objects?
It's a sign.
I think it's a sign. People on the Gold Coast are not having enough personal time. I find that very interesting.
I wonder what the Atlantic Coast
version of
these would look like.
Oh, much smaller,
more hardy. Hardier.
Well, it depends on what side of the Atlantic too. Different shape if you're on the England side of the Atlantic.
Oh yes.
hooded.
Oh, yeah. More natural.
Yeah.
My question is, from which sunken vessel have these emanated from? Did the Titanic have like a stack of just, it was traveling, just importing ridiculous alien sex toys?
I mean, they're beautiful, really.
They are beautiful. And I did hear that about the Titanic, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Now,
reason for its visit.
Yeah, I find that I do think there's a market there for like natural sex toys.
Oh. That explosion means Reg just had a good time. And we are about to move on to our next category, which is called At the Movies, which Reg has prepared for us.
Well, by prepared, I have a webpage. Okay, so I want to talk about this week's what do we call it?
Movies.
Releases. Now, how many people go to the movies regularly? Kiki,
when was the last time you've been to actual movie theater movie?
I go once a year.
And what's that to see?
Last movie I saw was the Amy Winehouse documentary, to be honest.
In the theater you saw it?
Yeah, it was horrifying.
I love her.
I love her too, but sad.
Yeah,
she's dead.
She is dead.
Okay, so why do you say I love her? Isn't that like grammatically?
She lives on through her music.
No. Well, I love her persona. Legacy? Her music.
Her persona is terrible. She's in the ground.
Reg.
As a performer.
Kiki.
Never change.
Oh, okay.
You know you love it. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you this week's new releases just by name, and I want you to tell me what the movie's about. You may know, you may not.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
First one is called 47 Meters Down.
Okay, so as everyone knows, a meter is approximately 10 feet. I have no idea. No, a meter is 3 feet.
You're very close, yep.
So 47 meters down is about 150 feet.
Okay.
And I'm guessing this has to do with water?
Snorkeling?
A snorkeling movie about shark. Oh, okay. So you go down.
Are you generally playing this game like you don't know?
I swear to God, I have no idea. All right, what this I'm just
curious.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Because this is more
47 meters down.
I literally have no idea any movies that are out.
So
I can see with the vacant look in your eyeballs.
Brokeback Mountain.
That was a number of years ago.
15
that's
years
like
ago.
The one I saw before Amy Winehouse. I'm not kidding.
Perfect segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, 47 meters down.
So it was scuba diving, somebody gets eaten by a shark. The end.
Okay.
Wait, what about those things that washed up?
Oh, good point. You go down, you find the sex toy, you get eaten by a shark. Oh, and then how about this? You go down with your sex toy to perform some sort of underwater erotica, and you get eaten by a shark. They come up to the shoreline. People find them in California and think that it's a natural phenomenon.
Okay. Pretty close. So shall I give you the official Fandango synopsis? Thank you to the good people at Fandango.com. Two sisters vacationing in Mexico become trapped in a shark cage on the ocean floor. As their oxygen starts to run out, they use inflatable dildos to drink the oxygen out of the phallic shape. As time runs out, a great white shark circles them, and the sisters must find a way out to get to the surface alive.
Wow.
One, should we do? Have we got time for one more?
Yeah.
Okay. This movie is called Baby Driver.
I actually know what it's about.
I don't.
So this is all you.
I can assume.
Go ahead.
There is a little baby.
Yep.
And his parents went to work and left him in the car, and it got super hot, and he crawled in front. And just was like, I'm going to save myself. This is not the life I chose to die in a hot car.
Keys were in the ignition.
Keys are in the ignition.
No, keys are never in the ignition.
He hotwired it.
Don't you have to pull down the...
The visor.
All out. And
that's in England.
No, that's or America.
Every single movie.
Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. He hotwires the car.
Wow.
And drives off into the sunset.
Over the cliff, like Thelma and Louise style?
Yes.
Okay.
Not really anywhere near the actual synopsis of the movie. Henry?
I do know what this is about.
Okay,
I believe this is a a movie starring Jamie Foxx, Kevin Spacey, John Hamm.
Yes.
And it's a movie.
I love him.
It's a...
I love Hamm too.
Yeah. Big piece of Hamm. And it's a musical set to like... It's like a car chase musical or something like
that. Yeah, it's a heist movie.
Oh my God, mine sounds so much better.
It's a heist movie based with like tons of rock and roll music, lots of fast fast getaway scenes, etc. And I think it's basically Baby Driver is the getaway driver for a
and he's like a group young, of criminals. Naive guy,
yeah, he's I think he's like a little bit unique in his mental capacity. I think he had a car crash when he was younger or something like that, and then he's just an amazing driver. Baby Driver. Baby out now.
Speaking of car crash, that sound means that we are finished with today's segment in the movies, and we are entering our final segment of the day.
Lord knows how this one's going to go.
Which is called Selfish Shellfish?
Yes.
Reg, care to elaborate on that a little bit?
I've been eating a lot of shellfish recently.
Selfishly.
Very selfishly. Just keeping it to myself, licking it around the rims, just doing all I want to do on my own. Very selfishly. And I just wanted to discuss a number of crustaceans with you guys and how best to prepare them and eat them.
Okay.
I can go?
Selfish shellfish is like the worst double word for someone with a lisp to say. Selfish shellfish.
Okay, so this came from my 4th of July.
Selfish.
That's a terrible sound.
I know.
This came from my 4th of July experience having a lobster and clam bake. So, I was with Kiki. We have a funny story to tell you. Well, okay. Kiki does anyway, because it ended up a little bit tough for this girl. So, Kiki, tell me about your 4th of July lobster clam bake before we move on with this segment.
Started off great. Was with the family. We were celebrating my grandmother's birthday. She's dead, but you know, 4th of July. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we went to local eatery.
Yeah.
Ordered large amounts of fried fish and lobster and clams and such.
Deep fried crispy clams.
Yum.
Yes, deep fried. My mother prepared it's BYOB, which I love. Mm. And she prepared a vat of Mai Tais.
Oh.
So.
Interesting choice.
Yes.
Yep.
And also handed me a small wheat chocolate that she said she had made a quarter of the strength that she usually does.
She's an old hippie from
your
the
mother?
60s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. She's a legit old hippie from the 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
I
awesome.
Figure, okay, 4th of July, went to the beach all day, started eating some, you know.
Fried fish.
Fried just fish.
Lapping up on the clams.
Drinking Mai Tais. Share a little chocolate with a friend.
Go ahead.
Not the best choice. It wasn't a great decision. I soon felt like my legs were so heavy. My mother had to drive my car. And we were going to a cookout nearby in which I arrived at. And the owner of the house put on this record and looked at me. And in my head, I thought he did it on purpose. So I felt like I was in Twin Peaks. And so I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And I was so upset. And I was like in and out of being really uncomfortable and afraid. I thought they were all trying to scare me.
What was the record?
I have no idea.
Okay, but
they
there
had
was just
a
like
black
a look.
And white
it was
zigzag
wannabe by
rug,
the Spice Girls.
Like Twin Peaks. And I was like, oh my God, they literally hate me this much that they would do this. So I was like, Ma, you gotta drive me home, you know? And she felt bad, obviously, because she raised a weak daughter.
not that she had given you Mai Tais and a pot brownie or
so,
whatever.
So, you know, I mean, I relived the fried seafood experience. In my Subaru, on my lap.
Tell her about the fish.
Both ends?
When you were trying to, you thought you were opening the window, but you were just vomiting down the inside of the window.
Like there, you don't understand the clams I cleaned out of the like window, like even
the
well, how to
the
open the well, like down my legs. And it was pink from the Mai Tai. She must use grenadine. So it's like pink clams. galore.
Everyone loves a pink lamb, but yeah. I guess not when it's dyed with grenadine.
Yeah. And that was, I had to be obviously brought home, and my poor parents like cleaned out my car for me and
still smells.
Does it still smell?
It does. I bought baking soda yesterday and just doused it, but
God, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm sure everyone wants to go get a seafood platter now.
Yeah.
I kind of do actually.
Yeah, I do.
So good.
So let's can I change it? I thought that story was interesting.
Please.
I want to talk about, how do you steam your clams? Have you ever had steamers?
Yes, with the little weenies.
Yeah, the little sock that you have to pull off when before
Ooh,
you...
Oh, a sock? I hate that.
That's what they call the little black sock. Oh. It's essentially a foreskin on the clam.
Is it really what it's called, a sock?
Yeah, they're called the sock. You peel the sock off and then you dip it in the butter and then you can drink it down.
Do you make your own steamers?
Do I steam my own steamer? I don't grow my own steamers in the ground, but I do steam.
Do they grow in the ground?
No, but I mean, I've only had them at a restaurant.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. I learned two cans of Coors Light, two massive cloves of garlic, put them in get that boiling. And then
keep going.
Yeah.
And are you getting?
Yeah.
You want to hear my, you like to hear the clam stories?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you put two cans of Coors Light in the pan. You turn the heat all the way up. You add a little bit of garlic for aroma. The beer is bubbling. It's hissing. You put 2 pounds of freshly rinsed clams, steam a little neck clams into the pot.
Red just taking his pants off right now.
You put the lid on the pot and you let it steam. Oh, do you let it steam? Those clams are going to open themselves up.
Spread them.
Nice and slowly.
Flying V style.
Flying V style. That's one of our number one intermission snacks. Reggie's Flying V clams. Oh, sell them by the bucket load. Side story. The clams will open up. Their flesh will become shown to you. Some of them are too tight and they don't want to open up. But most of them are loose by that point. They've had some of the Coors Light seep into them. They've had some of the garlic aromas. Frisky. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
Once most of them are open, pour them into a pan or a bowl. Take some of the broth that you steamed them in, their own juices, and use that to rinse the clams off while you dip them into butter and drink back the sweet, succulent softness of little neck steamed clams.
What about the sock? What about the sock?
Oh, yeah.
Always peel the sock back before you enjoy a clam.
Okay.
Wow. That was sensual.
It's hot in here.
Yeah.
That's my latest fascination. Steamed clams. Love them.
All right. Wow. Well.
Do you have any shellfish stories? No. SSS?
No.
Do you like a good lobster?
I do.
I don't.
You're probably
you don't like lobster?
Henry, I've you're probably a lazy man lobster guy, right?
No.
Your fingers to the chef. Can you prepare it for me? Put it in a pie? I don't want any. I can tell you're not a bib guy. You're not going to wear a bib in public, are you?
I do. And I do lobsters here. I just like put like newspaper all over the counter and go house. I don't like putting them in the pot, though.
I was going to say.
When they scream. But I'll do
can't
it.
Can't you just kindly stab them in the brain first?
Yeah, I think you just put it right in the back of the brain stem and... Right down the back.
I can't do that either.
I don't think it takes that long for them to die in the pot, though. Does it?
Well, mine sang a whole album.
We'll never know.
It sounded like mine was singing a whole Radiohead album when I killed mine.
Oh, my God.
It was long and painful, much like the song Creep.
Oh, by TLC? Oh, the Radiohead one.
Well, that is all the time we have for today's show.
Whoa, that flew by.
Didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if the listeners will agree, but it flew by for us.
Oh, it's great to be back in the saddle, Reg.
Oh, I'm excited.
Big thanks to Kiki Vargas, who we hope will come back to the show.
Yeah, will you come back?
Of course.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to hear more stories about your upbringing and obviously the things we did together as kids.
Oh, God, I can't wait for those stories. Well,
the corner pub.
Going to the pub.
The back alley. That is all the time we have. So see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.